Why don't you start by all closing your eyes? That's the great thing that Pete brought about. The Holy Spirit comes where he's welcomed. But you don't just need to welcome the Holy Spirit, you need to welcome his messengers as well. That's the key. So the key is about deciding to welcome the messenger of the Lord. The key is about breaking down the preconceptions around what that messenger might or might not say, and what you might or might not receive. The key to receiving a messenger is to understand the spirit of the messenger and to get the really authentic part that is the God part into you. So there is a transference of what the Holy Spirit has placed in this man into your life. That's the key to receiving. That is the key. To look beyond the book and to read the pages. And we now pray for Dave that he will turn the pages that are the pages of the Father, not the pages of Dave. And that even now as I speak, there will be pages that you will speak to him about that will shape what he has to say. And we choose to read those pages, but do more than that. We choose to digest those pages and for those pages to become part of our life. Otherwise, go home. Amen. It's just an exercise, a religious exercise. So just go home. So I receive this man in my spirit now. I receive his pages right now. And I choose in the spirit to see in a new way today. Amen.
So if everyone could close their eyes again. No, I'm actually serious, though. If everyone could just close their eyes. Oh. Lord, we just say we love you this morning. We adore you. We thank you that we're your children. That we're co-heirs with Christ. Thank you that we're new creations, that we're seated in the heavenly realms. That if you cut us in half, we'd be like a stick of rock that said righteous going right through our core. Holy Spirit, we just welcome your presence. Thank you that you're already in us. Thank you that we're temples of you. I really feel like the Lord just saying this morning, just open your hearts to me. Open your hearts to me. Those defense layers that you've put on top of your heart to keep yourself safe, they've been numbing you. And you're not called to be numb, you're called to be passionate. The world's numbed you, but you need to feel. Because to feel is to be human. So open your heart to me and let me love you. Because I'm looking for a passionate bride, says the Lord. I'm madly in love with you, says the Lord. And I'm looking for a passionate people, says the Lord. So open your heart to me and let me love you. Let me heal your hurts. Let me realign your perspectives. There's nothing I can do to love you more, says the Lord. I just love you so much. I love you with everything I have. Literally, I gave everything I have. What I can do, says the Lord, is expand your capacity to love me back. So open your heart to me. Holy Spirit, we just open ourselves to you this morning. We just give you the throne which is in our hearts. And we just say, come and sit and be Lord. let's just wait upon the Lord. It says those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. And right now I feel like some of you guys will be getting pictures in your head. That's the Lord. He speaks through our imaginations. Just begin engaging with the Lord in your imagination. Just let him talk to you. Talk back. Let him give you presence. Give him your burdens. Some of you may just be feeling peaceful. Just recognize that as the Lord, because he's the Prince of Peace. You know, the Lord says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He says, the government's on my shoulders. So you give me the things which you're carrying, which you shouldn't be carrying. Father, we receive your life. Thank you, Father. Amen. I was going to talk about something else this morning, and on Thursday I was spending time with the Lord, and I just got really wrecked with the love of God. God just spent loads of time. I was just in my lounge, just loving on me, basically, and I was just getting all freed. Just I realized that I'd been carrying loads of heavy things which I weren't mine to carry, and I just spent time just weeping for the Lord. He just loved on me and just, you know, instilled value and identity into me and just reminded me of my sonship. And I felt like the Lord say, you know what, you need to not speak about what you're speaking about. Instead, just talk about my love. And I know for some of you guys, this is a bit like teaching grandma to suck eggs. You know, you've heard, oh, love of God, you know, again and again and again. But, you know, the gospel, I think, is really simple sometimes, and we overcomplicate it. And, you know, when we sometimes, like, simplify it down into its purest form, that there you find the genius. And I also think that, like, the love bucket leaks. So is everyone cool about talking about the love of God this morning? That's good. Because we were made for love, because we were created by love. God in himself is Trinity, and he's engaged, his very essence is a loving relationship. So the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are engaging in this love relationship. They are love. And as a parent, as two parents engage in a love relationship, the product of their love is life. It's a child. In the same way, because we're made in God's image, the product of their relationship was life, and it was the human race. And as children are created to be loved and to love their parents, so we are created to love and to be loved by God. It's like part of the very core of our being is to be loved by God, because we're his children. Is everyone with me? Everyone say, I was created to love. And you know, like, we can just see God, like, the message of love just throughout the whole Bible. You know, God says that we're his kids through the most revolutionary prayer that Jesus prayed, and we skip over it so easily, but he starts it with, our Father who art in heaven. And he could have easily said, my Father, but he didn't. He said, our Father. And in that moment, like, everything changed. It was like Jesus was identifying the rest of humanity as brothers and sisters, and he said, our Father. And it says in Corinthians that when we're filled with the Spirit, we can call God Abba, Father. And that means daddy. We can come to him as daddy. It's like the highest revelation. God loves us so much. And you just see God tearing up, like, just a hole in his heart to receive humanity in its brokenness as he hangs there on a cross. And he comes to demonstrate his love. His love is put to the test above all else. And it's just shown that it kind of transcends every flaw in our nature. It transcends kind of, you know, people thinking, oh, I'm not, you know, God is love, but he doesn't love me because I've done this, this, and this, and this. But yet he comes, and the people that he created, the people that he gave life to, he could have ended it like that. But the people that he gave life to, they were cursing him, they were spitting him, they were jeering him as they nailed him to a tree. And they weren't even asking for forgiveness. And he just said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And it's just like the ultimate demonstration of the love of God. So, Father, I just thank you that you love us. It's absolutely amazing. We have like, you know, it says in Hebrews 1:3, it says Jesus is the exact representation of the Father's nature. And so we have these kind of messed up ideas about who God is, that actually, oh, God's really far away and he's distant and he's this and he's this and he's this, and therefore I can't come to him. But we can boldly come, because when we see the life of Jesus, he hangs out with the lowest of the low and he nails himself to a tree. And he changed everything. We have these kind of like protocols in our head, you know, that we have to be shy, that we have to be meek. We're his kids. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So, a few years ago at Soul Survivor, I was just in the worship, and there's 10,000 young people just worshiping in a tent, and I was just on my knees, just engaging with the Lord in the kingdom. And I just went into this vision, and I zoomed out of the whole kind of situation. I could see over everyone. I was up in the air, and I saw the Lord ride in on this white horse. And he was just radiating majesty, power, purity, light. I often get a vision of the Lord like that. And I was just there, just, wow, Lord. And he was like 10 times bigger than everyone else. And just he just rode in. It was like, wow, you're like such a king, Lord. And I was just kind of, whoa, just on my knees, just there, just, you know, in my own little world. And then I zoomed in the vision. It zoomed right in. And I saw something which like completely blew me away. And the Lord was wearing some love heart spectacles, like comedy ones. And he had this big grin on his face. And he went, I see everything through the lens of love. And he just had this big grin on him. And then he zoomed down to kind of human size and was just going throughout the tent. And he had this big bag full of love heart spectacles. And he gave one to me and he said, everything you do, do it through the lens of love. And he was giving them out to his kids one by one. He was just giving them out. He was saying, every time you do ministry, every time you give any money away, every time, whatever you do, whatever way you see people, you have to see it through the spectacles of love. And I was just there. I was just on my knees, just literally, I was laughing my head off. Just in the worship, just laughing my head off. I was having this encounter with the Lord. And people around me like, what's he laughing about? Please turn to 1 Corinthians 13. I wonder what that is. Okay. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You know, gongs were used in pagan temples at the time, so Paul's making a point that it's not just like dong, it's like dirty gong. If I have the gift of prophecy, and if I know all mysteries, and I have all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but I do not have love, I'm nothing. So it's saying, you know, if I'm a signs and wonders, healing, faith evangelist, so if I'm doing this, this, and this, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but if I do not have love, it profits me nilch. Love is patient. This is a description of what this actually looks like in our lives. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag, and it is not arrogant. You know, like these kind of godly concepts and stuff, they have to, like, the rubber has to hit the road in our characters, and it's our day-to-day lives, the way we interact with people, the way we interact with our families. So it's patient. It's kind. It does not, is not jealous. It does not brag, and it's not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. And if there are gifts of tongues, they will cease. But if there is knowledge, it will be done. And it goes on. Wow. Verse 13. But now faith, hope, love abide in these three. But the greatest of these is love. Chapter 14. Pursue love. I don't really want to read the rest of it. It says, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. But I just want to finish with the very first two words. Pursue love. You know, like, I think some of us can have in our head, you know, oh, we understand the love of God. We've got that bit nailed, you know. But we're called to pursue love. And in my head, I kind of get, when I think of that saying, I kind of think of it as like this carrot dangling in front of me, and I'm a horse, and it's a tasty little carrot. And that carrot never gets there, because it's like, I keep going. And it's not like we never find it, because obviously that's kind of quite a flawed metaphor. But, because the reality is, it's like, it's eternal depths of love. It's never-ending depths of love. So the more you delve into it, the more there is. And you can go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. It's like, you know, sometimes I think our Christian lives... Have you ever seen that kind of metaphor or that kind of clip where they have, in a science beaker thing, they have all these fleas, and the fleas are jumping outside. They're jumping higher than the glass. As these fleas are jumping up and down, they're going really high, and then they put a lid on top of the glass. And now the fleas only jump as high as the lid, obviously. But then they take away the lid, but the fleas only ever jump as high as the lid was. And it's like they have a glass ceiling. And I think it's like that with our relationships with the Lord and the way that we engage in church, the way that we engage in worship. Sometimes... And I think often, actually, we have a glass ceiling, and it's like the protocols, the thought structures, the way we, you know, in our brains, and in the way that we think, oh, this is how I engage with the Lord, this is how, you know, the Lord meets me, or this is, you know, how, you know, I engage in worship, and that's that. And then you set your expectation at a certain level, and so then you ever get to that level. But I feel like the Lord's saying, it's never-ending depth of my love. It's never-ending depth of my love. How deep do you want to go? How deep do you want to go? Seek, you will find. Not the door will be answered. It's the hungry that get fed. Actually, it's like one of the keys is our passions. What do we want, you know? Because the standard, which I read in this book, and that I read, you know, in church history, and what God's doing around the globe, is so much more than what we're currently walking in, what I'm currently walking in. And God doesn't just dangle the carrot and say, oh, you're never going to get it. He doesn't reveal this kind of crazy stuff. These guys are forerunners. And the point of a forerunner is that someone runs ahead and the rest follow. Is everyone with me? Please turn to Ephesians 3. Verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You have to believe it. Faith is the connector between the spiritual and the natural. It's the connector between the vague reality of here and actually experiencing the reality here. Faith is always the connector. You can't please God without faith. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you may be being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. It surpasses knowledge, guys. And that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Let's stop there. So basically it's saying, being filled with the fullness of God is very dependent on you being filled with the knowledge surpassing, never ending love of Christ. And it's not about knowing. Greek thinking of knowing is like, oh, I know a fact. The Hebrew thinking of not, and you can have that without experience. But Hebrew thinking of knowing something is experience. And you don't truly know something until you've experienced it. Like, I can know that Al owns a company. I can know that he's got two great kids, a beautiful wife, and that he's a creative guy. I can know loads of stuff about Al, but until I've experienced Al, I don't truly know him. And we can have all these kind of vague, kind of abstract theological concepts, but until we really experience them, then we know them. And I want to say it's exactly the same with the love of God. You can know that God loves you, and you can have it in your head and go about your Christian, you know, walk, and you can totally not know that God loves you. And when you know, really know, when it goes from head to heart, it changes everything. It changes absolutely everything. Your perspectives just shift. Because when you know and you experience the unconditional love of a father, and I can't really describe it. Like, the way I describe it is, it just kind of comes upon you, and it comes through hunger. It comes through you engaging in a relationship with God in the same way that you engage with a relationship with anyone else. It takes time. The relationships you value the most, you put the relationships which are deepest, you put the most time into. And so you engage with the Lord, you befriend, you have dialogue with the Lord, and you spend time in worship, you spend time in the spiritual disciplines, just prayer, basic things like that. And then just the Lord begins to speak to you, and you begin to write down stuff, or you begin to hear things in your head, or just peace comes upon you. And then you just begin to feel just the love of the Father, and he begins to speak into your identity. He says, you're my son. He says, you're my son. In my eyes, you're a success because you're one of the people on the planet that love me back. You're called to greatness, my boy. With me, you can do the most amazing things. And I'm like, well, what about this, God, and what about this? He goes, I'm your dad. I'm with you. I'm never going to leave or forsake you. You know, and then you have a security within yourself that you don't need to be competitive. You never, ever need to compete against anyone. That's not even an issue. You don't need to prove yourself because you've got nothing to prove. And you have a love resource within yourself, which, again, like I say, the rubber hits the road, you know. People get angry with you, and you're just like, I'm just so sorry. And you don't, there's no need to fight back. You know, you people get road rage with you, and you're just like, I love you, man. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. You know, things that used to get me grumpy, like really grumpy, irritable, you know, housework type stuff. You know, things that just really is like, ugh, you know, and then you end up taking it out on people that you're close to. My wife. When I'm close to the Lord, those days are gone. I'm genuinely serious. It's like a whole nother world. You begin to experience the character of Christ. It comes through knowing the love of God. And if you're like thinking, oh, it's okay for you, Dave, you know, look at you, you're super holy. I just want to say, like, you know, God is no respecter of persons in any way. We're all completely equal. You know, he died for every single one of us. Every single one of us are his kids. What parent would give favor to one child? What good parent would give more favor to one child than another? That's absolutely ridiculous. All kids are loved equally. And all kids have exactly the same access and rights in the kingdom. There are no runts in the kingdom. So if you've kind of got that like thing in your head, oh, it's okay for you, but it's not okay for me, that's a flawed, lie-based thought structure going on in your head. And the Lord says you have full access. You can boldly come before the throne. But it takes practice. It takes learning. Is everyone with me? I hope I don't mean to rant, okay? I'm just passionate, you know? So we need to experience the love of God, right? But then, listen to this. Verse 19, it goes from experiencing the love of God to verse 20, and now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all we might think or ask, according to the power that has worked within us. Everyone's talking about revival this, revival that. Let's change culture. Let's disciple nations. Blah, blah, blah. God wants, we want to see a move of God. But I want to say that the only way we're ever going to see a move of God, because a move of God comes through working through people. We are the move of God. All of creation is groaning to see the sons of God revealed. And God wants to do a massive move in this nation. He wants, in Matthew, we see that we're to disciple nations. And the way you do that is to change culture. And the way you change culture is to change the mountains which influence culture. So it's Christians being influential in business, in education, in media, in the arts, in healthcare, in all those kind of areas. And so it's fantastic what John's done.
with the council and getting into places of influence where we establish godly kingdom systems, where there's justice, where there's caring for women, where there's positivity released on the airwaves and all that kind of stuff. That's discipling nations. And in the book of Mark, we have see like a grassroots movement up. One is very covert. This is very overt. It's very much, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, heal the sick, preach the gospel. And it's very much bam, 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 bam. And it's like revival. And it's like the Lord wants to move a move of God in the nation, but it's this pincer movement. Does that make sense? One's taken through the mountains of influence. One's through an uprising of the people. The only way it's ever going to happen is if the people understand a foundation of love, because it comes through us. So, verse 19, to know the love of God through Christ, which surpasses knowledge, and you may be filled up to the fullness of God, transitions to verse 20, and now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we might ask, think, according to the power that works within us. So the only way we're ever going to see what we want to see in the town, and in our nation, and in our businesses, is through experience, through being grounded in the love of God. Because the majority of the time, you don't do the stuff which you want to do, it's because of fear, right? Yeah. Perfect love casts out all fear. Yeah. You know the Stephen Klemick and Mara Klemick heart styles things? There's the below-the-line behaviors, the above-the-line behaviors. One are grounded in love, the others are rooted in fear. So, what I propose is that we want to see a kingdom culture built. And we have... In order to build something, you lay foundations. So we want the kingdom within our lives, and the kingdom around us, in our families. Because the family is the building block of society. So we got our family right first, our own lives first, our relationship with God right first. That's the first one. Then our family life, and then our church life, and then our business. And it goes out like that, and then the nation, and then the nations. But the family and our own lives, that's the foundational building block. So the foundation that we lay, from which we build on everything, is love. And as what happens is, the more the kingdom that you build, the more you begin to walk in, the higher the buildings get. But what I want to say is that this, you don't like in normal building, you lay the foundation and then you build the building. I want to say that the two happen simultaneously. That as you lay the foundation, the building begins to build. But then the foundations get deeper, and then you can build more. And then the foundations get deeper, and you can build more. And the two have to go hand in hand, because otherwise then what you get is you get people who are high up in places of influence, high up in places of ministry, or any other area of society, and their character, their grounding in love, just the way they deal with people, their integrity, things like that, it's not strong enough to handle the layer, how high they are, and then they fall. So it's not only about like our little kind of relationship with God, just us and him. It's also about like the way we engage in society. So, let's become a people of love. It's so easy to think, love of God, it's one of our gold things. We had the gold talk the other day. Goodness, openness, love, and the dynamic power of God. We've got love, we know love, but we're called to pursue love. And the depths are never ending. And if we really want to become the people of God that we're called to be, let's just continue to make pursuing the love of God that resource in our lives that enables us to then go out and actually be positive without having an agenda, and to keep doing the impossible things which the Lord calls us to do, like love your enemies. That's just impossible. You can't do that and sustain it without having a resource within you from which to give it. And just to deal with the crap which the world puts on us without having to harden ourselves and become all like kind of closed off and numb, because that's what you have to do otherwise to keep your defenses up, to even cope. You need that resource, that river, which just keeps flowing out of you, but you need to keep the river going into you. So let's become a people of intimacy. Jesus, at the end of his ministry, he's talking about his final things, which he's imparting to his disciples. And we have John 15, which is so radical, and it's all about just abiding in love. And I don't want to be naive and say, and not be realistic about, we've got lives, we've got kids, we've got like businesses, life is busy. But I want to say, if we really want to take what Jesus says seriously and abide in his love and be a people of his presence, and actually look at biblical leadership, the people who did the greatest, craziest things in the Bible, who must have been so busy, people like Daniel, people like Moses, They had lives of real intimacy with the Lord, and we need to just find ways of just engaging in relationship. You know, with my wife, I take our relationship really seriously. And so, you know, we make sure we pencil in date night once a week. You know, we have to do the same with the Lord. I'm not saying we have to have date night with the Lord. Maybe some of you do need to start having date night with the Lord. We need to be like real, like intentional about it. Otherwise, you can just slip. So, I'd like to play a clip. And it's in a song by Adele. And I really just feel like the Lord just wants to sing it over people. And I just really want to encourage you. Some of you need to close your eyes just as you listen to that. And just let the Lord just love you. Just let the Lord just take off the layers. And just open yourself up to Him. And some of you can just watch it and that'll be fine as well. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you that in Jesus you went black and blue so that we could feel your love, so we could know your love. And Father, I just want to just pray that you just release to us as a congregation the anointing to love. That which is on David, who wrote the Psalms, who was a lover of you, would rest upon us. The anointing to love. Father, I just want to just pray just for a healing of every single heart. That we would all have established within us a foundation of love. Father, I just want to just thank you that you are not a distant, irrelevant deity. But you're a warm and you're a near Father. And that you're within reach. And I thank you that you call us friend. I thank you that you call us kids. And Father, we just make a decision today to be people of love. People who will love you back. In Jesus' name, amen.